Our gospel reading this morning comes from the gospel according to Luke. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." As they came near to the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, Easter's over. The lilies have been taken away. If you see some around the place, help yourselves. The chocolate eggs have all been eaten, more or less, right? We're moving on to our next spring projects, whether that's scraping radiators or rototilling the soil to plant a garden. Maybe Easter was everything you hoped it would be, or maybe it wasn't. Maybe you were disappointed somehow last Sunday, whether with the service or with a meal that you prepared or ate or with the company that you shared. Or maybe it was Monday morning that was the letdown. Maybe Easter's not a big deal for you, but the Monday after Christmas or Halloween or 4th of July is your saddest day of the year. Here is a story for you. Two of the followers of Jesus were heading home from the big Passover celebration in Jerusalem. They weren't members of the 12 who had been the closest disciples and followers of Jesus. We don't know much about them. One of them is named Cleopas. The other, his companion, may well have been his wife, for all we know. They're heading home. Talk about a letdown, a complete reversal of expectations. not in the sense of an anticlimax, but because this movement that they'd been part of, promoting the kingdom of God as something radically different and opposed to the kingdom of Caesar, this movement had culminated in what could only be described as a tragedy. Their big holiday had gone horribly, horribly wrong. And so they were talking together as they walked the 7 miles home, discussing the events, processing what it all might mean, puzzling it over, trying to make the pieces fit together in some way that made sense to them. And a stranger comes near them on the road and walks with them. Now, as a former English major, I feel compelled to tell you that this is a classic case of dramatic irony, where we, the reader or audience, knows something that the characters in the story don't know. So we all know that it's Jesus, but the poor, depressed, unsuspecting travelers are oblivious. So when he asks them what they're discussing, and Cleopas replies, "You must be the only stranger in Jerusalem who doesn't know what went down this week," we can all have a good chuckle at Cleopas' expense. But sometimes a question isn't so much a request for information as it is an opportunity to tell a story. Like a therapist or a 3-year-old, Jesus keeps asking questions until they overcome the inertia of their grief enough to tell him what they think they know. Now, they have apparently been witnesses to some of the week's events, probably the crowd's rejection of Jesus and his crucifixion. And they've heard about these other events second and third hand. But the story that they know, it ends in a strange and unresolved way. Nothing makes sense to them in this story. When Jesus switches then from this therapist mode of, "Tell me more about that," or "How does that make you feel?" Jesus switches to a more familiar form of expression, "How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe." I'm a little surprised that they don't recognize him right then, because that was how he frequently addressed his followers. This chiding of foolishness and little faith. But still their eyes were kept from recognizing him, even as he puts their partial story in the context of a greater story, a familiar story of God's saving work in the world as understood by the prophets of Israel. And so they reach their destination. They've been walking all this time. 7 miles is not a short walk, though it might have been by their standards. Jesus walks ahead as though he's going to just keep on going. We might well ask, where would he have gone if the disciples didn't invite him in? But that's a sermon for another day. Because it's the custom of the time that if you invite someone into your home as an act of hospitality, you really have to urge them, you really have to insist so that they know that you're not just going through the motions. And so the 2 travelers insist that he comes in and stays with them because it's almost nightfall and he won't be able to get much farther, and who knows if he would find another safe place to stay. And so then, in the midst of the meal, in the traveler's own home, Jesus, as their guest, a stranger in their midst, becomes the host. He takes on the role of host as he takes the bread, blesses, breaks it, and gives it to them. That's something he had previously done a time or two, not just in that final Passover meal, but in the feeding of the 5,000 and probably in many other shared meals. And they recognize him at last. Not because his face or body looks familiar in a way that it didn't a moment ago. Not because of his greater understanding of the scriptures or his ability to teach and explain to them the meaning of all that has been troubling them. Not because of there's any sense of glory or the miraculous in that moment, but in the familiar actions, the holy mundane of mealtime ritual, their eyes are opened, and they know their friend and leader. Jesus has been their companion on the journey, and they didn't even realize it. Do you know the origin of the word companion, the same as the word company? From the Latin, com means with, panis means bread or food. Our companions are literally the ones who break bread with us. Now, I spent a year in Venezuela after college, and during that time I learned that the Spanish word for accompany, acompañar, can mean a lot more than just going somewhere with someone. Acompañar, to accompany, is an important part of the work for peace and justice and human rights. It means to walk alongside of someone of a different background, those who have been marginalized or victimized, those who need to know that they are not alone. It means to stand in solidarity with the poor and the oppressed, to be present for them, to witness to their lives, and to tell their stories to those in power. To accompany, to walk alongside, to break bread together, to share in telling the stories of our lives. These are powerful actions. When the two disciples experience Jesus in their midst, they are compelled to jump up and walk the 7 miles back to Jerusalem that same night, even though it was dark already, in order to share their story with the others who were gathered there. It is not enough to meet the risen Christ in our private journey. We experience resurrection when we bear witness, when we share our testimony, when we tell the story of what has happened in our lives so that we can try to better understand it together. And in the telling, we may experience Jesus anew, because the very next line after the end of our reading today, after they returned to Jerusalem, is while they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Humans are social animals. We crave connection, belonging, community in whatever form it is available to us. How many of you are on Facebook or MySpace, LinkedIn, any of those social networks? Okay, I'll just put in a little plug. Highlands has a Facebook page. You can look it up. But there today are dozens, probably hundreds or even thousands of sites that can promote these virtual communities and connections with people through similar interests and backgrounds, or people who may actually even know each other in real life, though that's becoming more rare, it seems. Social networking is the definition of the latest forms of technology today. I also find it interesting to contrast the behavior of these two followers of Jesus, or the behavior of the 11 still gathered in Jerusalem, with the solitariness of Judas, as he's portrayed in Luke, in his decision to betray Jesus. Now, I'm not trying to knock solitude. I'm an introvert. I can't live without it. But I don't think it's sufficient for the life of faith. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, is famous for having said, "There is no holiness but social holiness." And when he said that, I don't think he was talking mainly about the work that we do to improve society, to make society more holy, though that was an important part of his work too. But I think he was mainly saying that we can't be faithful followers of Christ all on our own. Growth in faith requires companionship. The encouragement, challenge, accountability, and love that can be found only by being in relationship with others who are also seeking out to live out this mystery of faith. Our closing hymn today that we'll come to in a moment is called the Servant Song, and it is one that I first learned as a child when I lived with my family in Australia. There's a line in the second verse that's the reason I chose the hymn for today, but it's a little bit different in Your Faith We Sing than it was in the hymnal I grew up with. In the hymnal I knew, it reads, "We are pilgrims on a journey and companions on the road." For me, that is the heart of the church. This crazy, beautiful, flawed, and inspiring community of sinners and saints. We need companions, bedfellows, to walk with us on the journey and to share in our stories and our storytelling. Community is the circle of those who bear witness to our lives and to God's life and story lived out among us. In telling our stories, sometimes over and over again, we figure out or remember who we are and whose we are and what part we play in the greater story of God's creative, redemptive, and transformative work in the world. We come together as the church because this is how we meet Jesus. In the company of friends and strangers, in opening the scriptures to find new meanings, in offering and receiving hospitality, in breaking bread together, in telling our stories, and in hearing the stories of others. May we be good companions to each other as we journey this road together. Amen.